Lord, we do thank you that this is a day that you've made, and we do enter your courts with thanksgiving and into your courts with your presence with praise. You have made us glad in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we confess to you this morning that we have every reason, in fact, to be glad. And as we come now in this first hour to consider once again this morning this practical, very practical study on quiet time, well, Lord, I just pray for your grace and for your blessing in our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. So a quiet time, a practical study for daily devotions. Here's where we've been and where we're going for the last 2 weeks. What we mean by a quiet time, why a quiet time is important. This morning, some practical suggestions for a quiet time. And our first week, when we were considering what do we mean by a quiet time, we looked at an explanation of a quiet time, definition and description. Then we looked at some examples from our Savior, the Psalm, and the saints. That was week one. Last week, we were considering why a quiet time is important. We considered three basic reasons, or three primary reasons. One, for vertical relationship cultivation with God and our Lord Jesus Christ. This is eternal life, to know God and His Son. Also, a quiet time is important to give us some horizontal kingdom orientation, to orient us in, we get it from our quiet time, to go serve Christ and to go serve others. And thirdly, it helps us with personal heart motivation to love the Lord our God as we're building that relationship with Him. This morning, some practical suggestions for a quiet time, and we want to look at it under these four main headings. First of all, in terms of some practical suggestions, one, a consistent place or a consistent time. Two, a consistent place. I'm going to use that word consistent a lot this morning. Three, a consistent plan or practice. And four, a consistent focus or attitude. So that's where we're wanting to go this morning. So let me ask, do you have a consistent quiet time, an intentional time regularly, consistently, not perfectly? That's why I'm using the word consistently. I'm not using the word perfectly. Perfect would be in heaven. But an intentional time alone with God to commune with Him. Or would this be more accurate of where you are today? No guilt, no condemnation, but there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Were you once devoted to a daily quiet time, but for whatever reason, you've slowly fallen away from that spiritual discipline until, honestly, it's not really a regular, consistent part of your daily routine? Or maybe this scenario. Have you often desired to have a more established daily quiet time, a more established personal devotional time, but you've struggled with consistency? What we want to focus on this morning is the fact that the quiet time is not just some pie in the sky exercise. It's not. It's something that has down-to-earth dimensions. Establishing a consistent quiet time takes intentionality, and it takes disciplined effort over time. And we all know we have an enemy who's completely wants to distract us in so many ways that he can from cultivating this communion with our Lord. But the best advice of all, if you want to establish a regular quiet time with God, is this. It's first of all, establish a basic plan. Basic. We don't want to muddy things up and call them complicated. Establish a basic plan, and that basic plan should have some basic components, and stick to that. It's kind of like exercise. If you have a plan to follow each day, it's not an absolute guarantee that you'll stick with that plan, but it helps to stick with the plan where there's a plan and some basic components to that plan. And then, of course, sometimes the busyness of life and the details of life, like work, caregiving, mothering, schooling, make carving out space for regular quiet time more difficult. But with God's grace, I know that we can make practice. And so here this morning are some practical suggestions for addressing some very practical, down-to-earth matters in, indeed, a spiritual exercise for establishing a consistent quiet time. So first of all, a consistent time. And we want to ask two questions about a consistent time. What time and how much time? And here's the first question. What time? In establishing a consistent time, I mean, what time of day? There are two answers I want to give to that question. And here's the first one. The best time of day for you. You know what your best time of day is. You know what your schedule is better than anyone. You know what your family's schedule is. When's the best time that you know you're most certain that you will have time, that you can be alone, and that you can be alert? And so I would say with the old philosopher, know thyself. But be honest with thyself about the best time. And here's the second answer I would give. And this is by way, remember, these are suggestions. This is a recommendation in terms of what time of day. If possible, have your quiet time, QT's quiet time, have your quiet time first thing in the morning. And here's just some practical reasons for why I make that recommendation. That was a pattern that we saw in our Savior's life. That was a pattern we saw. It wasn't the only time Christ did it, but we know that Christ would, it wasn't uncommon for him early before day, before dawn, to go out to a solitary place to pray to his Father. We're not going to go back there this morning, but both the week before and last week, we looked specifically at the Psalms that emphasize, you will hear my voice in the morning, O Lord. O Lord, let me hear your voice in the morning. I will awake the dawn. So we see that practice in our Savior in the Psalms, and we also see that was a very consistent practice in the life of many, many, many saints. Here's another reason why I make that suggestion. If you do it first thing in the morning, it's more likely to happen. Less things are piled up on your plate, theoretically. First thing in the morning. Theoretically, the house is quiet. Theoretically, there are fewer distractions if you can make it happen first thing in the morning. Someone's not trying to get you on your phone very, you know, if it's early enough in the morning. There are always exceptions to this, I understand. And first thing in the morning, it does what we were talking about last week. It sets the trajectory for the day. It has a way of giving you that horizontal kingdom orientation. We were talking about the kingdom principle of priority last week. Also, it sets the trajectory of personal heart motivation. Now, I understand you can have a quiet time first thing in the morning and something happened in the house and you've left your quiet place with a pretty good personal heart motivation to serve the Lord, and something goes wrong and in 10 minutes that personal heart motivation is almost evaporated. Well, I get it. We do struggle, and that's why the Lord tells us to take up our cross daily and follow him. Now, here's an amazing statement. If we're thinking about in the morning, a key to being disciplined about consistently getting up in the morning for a quiet time is to be consistently disciplined about going to bed at night, of getting the adequate rest that we need. 1 Corinthians 10:31 tells us whether we eat, whether we drink, or whatever we do, do all to the glory of God. Has it ever occurred to you, and perhaps it has, but has it ever occurred to you to go to bed to the glory of God? We're to do all things to the glory of God. Has it occurred to you to go to bed for the glory of God? Lord, I want to have ample rest to serve you adequately tomorrow. And maybe even on this basis, I want to have enough rest to be able to meet with you in the morning and cultivate a relationship with you. And so I'm not just going to bed to go to sleep. You say do everything to your glory. So I want to go to bed to your glory. I want to sleep to your glory as well. But consistent late nights, especially if they're a result of an undisciplined lifestyle. We're all going to have late nights for various reasons, but I'm talking about consistent, undisciplined, late nights are the relentless enemy of a consistent quiet time in the morning. It's just physically impossible to habitually stay up late night after night after night and then get up each morning fit for a proper quiet time. And then if we are going to have that quiet time in the morning, then I would suggest also some possible suggestions for waking up routines. Waking up routines that make you reasonably awake before you open your Bible and try to pray. I don't know what those might be for you. Maybe taking a shower. Maybe washing your face. Maybe shaving. Maybe a little exercise. Not a full-blown exercise routine, but maybe a little exercise. If you really want to blow someone's mind and serve someone, you know, a waking up routine might be unloading the dishwasher from the night before and putting dishes up, or unloading the sink where the dishes were washed. A fairy's been here. Where'd this fairy come from? A fairy's come through here and unloaded the dishwasher. But, you know, it's a little thing. Gets you going a little bit. Now, however, I do not recommend as a waking up routine, I do not recommend checking your phones or checking social media. I want to play a little video for you from John Piper entitled, Don't Waste Your Mornings, where Piper himself addresses this very issue. Now, I'm not playing the whole video. I'm only playing about, maybe 2.5 minutes of it. It's 8 minutes in total. And he goes on to talk about using the Psalms, like we've already talked about using the Psalms. But Caleb, where you got our microphone here, let me see if we can make this happen. And I'm going to put this microphone now. You have to listen carefully. And I'm going to put it right down on my computer and see if we can hear from Pastor Piper.
Pastor John, in yesterday's episode, in episode 636, you gave us half a dozen reasons why we addictively grab our phones when we wake up in the morning, and you said that you had a remedy, a better course forward. Please share that with us here today on the podcast.
It might be helpful just to mention, just to name the six things that I said tend to draw me to my phone in the morning. I said there's a novelty hunger. I said there's an ego hunger. I said there's entertainment hunger, and then I said there's these three avoidances, like boredom avoidance. I just don't want to, you know, a boring day. There's responsibility avoidance, and there's hardship avoidance. So there are pretty strong things that are keeping us in bed and keeping us on our devices. But there is a better way, and here's what points to the need for it. What if you are the first one to the news and it is horrible news? Or what if your search for some ego candy finds ego acid and people have hated you overnight? And what if you spend 5 minutes getting yourself happily entertained in the morning rather than facing the responsibilities of the day immediately, and you find at the end of those 5 minutes that they have drug you down into silly, demeaning, small-minded, hollow, immature frame of mind? Was it worth it? And what if you take 5 minutes to avoid the boredom and responsibility and hardship of the day, only to find at the end of those 5 minutes of avoidance, you are spiritually, morally, emotionally less able to cope with reality in the day than you were before? Was it worth it? So I think there is a better way to begin the day. And it will require some decisions before the morning. It never works to make last minute efforts to decide to do something different. You need to decide 12 hours earlier what this crisis moment is going to look like. It will take some planning. It will take some alarm clock thinking and setting. You know, just a little parenthesis here.
In terms of what time, if possible, start your quiet time at the same time each morning. That will make it easier to establish a pattern. It will also make it easier to gain adequate time for you. And then Let your quiet time become a part of the rhythm of your life. I said last week we were going to talk a little bit about the rhythm of our life. Hopefully there's a rhythm to our life. Going to bed, getting up, exercising, shower, breakfast, children, work, school. Hopefully there's a rhythm to our lives. We want to let our quiet time become an established part of the rhythm of our life. In terms of the time of in the morning, I remember the story of one saint, godly man, who no matter where he was, even if he was in his own home, even if he had guests in his own home, having a quiet time was such a priority for him that he would say at a certain point in time, because he wanted to be disciplined about getting into bed, that even if he had company in his own house, he would stand up and dismiss himself and say as politely as he could to his guest, "Excuse me, but I have a very important appointment in the morning that I don't want to miss." And he would dismiss himself and let his guest find their way out the door. It was a priority for him. And then there's the question, we've asked the question, what time? And then we have to ask the question, well, how much time should we spend in a daily quiet time? Or we get asked this question, which I don't like at all. What is the minimum amount of time for a quiet time? And I want you to know that at least my answer to that to you this morning is there's no rule. No rule can be given. The details of each one of our lives, those details are different. And our goal is not to be legalistic rule keepers when it comes to a quiet time. Our goal is not to be legalistic clock watchers when it comes to a quiet time. But one thing that can be said, the record would show that those who have served Christ well and fruitfully have been those who have made personal communion with God a priority in their lives. Spiritually mature Christians are probably going to want to desire, if not demand, more time than would even be possible for a brand new convert. Some have suggested that 20 minutes is maybe a minimum time. We looked at our 2020 journey. I'll talk about that in a little bit. But some have suggested 20 minutes being a suggested minimum. But for others, 20 minutes would only be enough time just to do their Bible reading. They would just kind of be getting started well. Some of you more mature saints. But God knows the limitations or the advantages of your circumstances. And it's really not a question of what's the minimum amount of time. It's really the question of what amount of time, in a maximum kind of sense, can I find or can I give to communing with God and cultivating a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the ideal is to have more than enough time, at least on a consistent basis. The ideal would be to say, I want to err on the liberal side because just like I want to be more time with people that I love rather than less time, then I want to be as much time as possible I can be with the Lord. And I would make this as a suggestion also. Maybe it's not something we could do every day. But at least try to find time to spend time alone with the Lord when you have enough time to forget about time. You can't do that every day. But there can be times that you can do it. In any case, we always want to aim at quality, not quantity. We also want to be sure that as we're establishing a quiet time, that we're paving the way for sanctified success. And here's what I mean by that. Don't overcommit. Now, here's how we do this physically. We do this physically. We wake up one day, we realize, I'm out of shape. Things need to change. I want things to change. So in the morning, I'm going to run 5 miles, do 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups, and 100 pull-ups. I'm exaggerating, of course. But we do that physically. We shoot ourselves in the foot. We don't pave the way for success and gradually building up to getting into shape. And here's how we do this spiritually. You're conscientious people. I know you are. I love you for that. And maybe we haven't been as consistent as we want to be. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start getting up at 4 a.m. every morning. And I'm going to pray for the hour, pray for an hour, and I'm going to read the Bible through in 90 days. Not setting yourself up for success. What about this? Start small and let your daily quiet time with God grow as you grow in cultivating that relationship with Him. We mentioned the 2020 for 2020, the last 2 weeks. 20 minutes for the next 20 days in a quiet time with God to help establish a pattern. Or maybe that's too much. Maybe start at 15 minutes a day, maybe for only 4 days. And when that grows into a pattern, maybe add some more time. Maybe add another day to that. And then this, in terms of how much time. If you miss a day, and you will miss a day, not if you miss a day, when you miss a day, because of the busyness of life, because the children are sick, because you are sick, because you have an early doctor's appointment in Nashville you've got to get to, or some other early appointment or other reasons, when you miss that day, don't fret. Don't panic. Don't try to do penance. We're not penance doers. We've said over and over again, the quiet time is not a rabbit's foot. You're not going to have a bad day for having missed that day. The Lord's still on His throne causing all things to work out together for good for you. He loves you. There is now no condemnation for you. There shouldn't be any sense about doing a quiet time to sort of up my merit meter with God. There is no merit meter. Jesus has paid it all. But when we've missed that time, as soon as possible, we want to go back to these good spiritual disciplines. Why? Because cultivating a personal relationship with our Lord is a priority for us. But God loves you. And He wants you to know Him more than you want to know Him. Let's move on to a consistent place. Here's what our Lord says in Matthew 6:6. But when you pray, go into your room or your closet and shut the door and pray to your Father who's in secret. Our Lord's words give us some helpful pointers about having a quiet time. Go into your closet. Shut your door. Pray in secret. Those are just some good pointers. And so when we say a consistent place, here's some suggestions of what I mean when I say a consistent place. First of all, a regular place. A place that you know this is where you are going to be with the Lord. You're not spending time in the mornings looking for a secret place or a quiet place. You know, this is where you're going to go. Can there be some flexibility? Of course. Will there be flexibility? Of course. But generally speaking, consistently, this is the place. By that I mean a consistent place, I mean an isolated place. Go to your closet, shut your door, pray to your Father in secret. By an isolated place, I mean a place where you know that for a reasonable amount of time, you can be alone. It may not be an isolated place 30 minutes from now, but you know it's a pretty good chance it can be an isolated place right now. I like this. A desirable place. A place you want to go. It doesn't have to be a bed of nails. A desirable place. Maybe it's a place that you decorate. Your little quiet time nest. Special place for you, and a comfortable place, but not too comfortable if you're trying to do this first thing in the morning. I was talking about paving the way for sanctified success. I mean, only Pastor Chris is the one who's sanctified enough in our congregation to have a quiet time lying in bed. He's the only one. Not too comfortable, right? For me, this regular, isolated, desirable, comfortable place for me in the summer months has been our back patio on our swing. It's worked great. I can't wait to get there every morning, to be there alone on our back patio. It doesn't really matter where the place is. Our Lord showed us on the mountain, along the seaside, at a lake. The important thing is to be in a place alone, away from people, away from their phones, Wait for the internet. Did I mention John Piper's Don't Waste Your Mornings video? I mentioned that, didn't I? Okay, good. Away from things that might detour your best thoughts from God. All right, in this consistent place, I suggest in this place, take or keep in that place, especially if it's a consistent place, you can keep those materials there. Either take or keep the right materials. Quiet time toolbox. Here's some suggestions. Your Bible, but not your Bible on your phone, and not your Bible on your computer. Did I mention the John Piper video on Don't Waste Your Mornings? I mentioned that, okay. So Bible, not on your phone, not on your computer. A notebook with a pen and a highlighter. A couple of reasons why I suggest this. If you have a notebook and a pen, here's one thing you can do. Got to read the chapter for the men's meeting Thursday night, 7 o'clock. Men's meeting Thursday night, 7 o'clock. Men's meeting, write it down. Set it aside. I'm done with that thought. That thought's done with. I can move on. Or I have that notebook and that pen there because maybe if you're a journaler, I'm not a journaler. I don't keep journals. By the way, I just want you to know, not all these things are things that I do or implement. That's why there's suggestions or recommendations for you. Maybe you are a person who keeps a journal, and that notebook's a place where you can keep those thoughts, or you can write down the things the Lord speaks to you specifically about that you want to apply to your life, points of application. It's never a bad idea to have a hymn book with you in your quiet, consistent, quiet place. It just stays there. You're not looking for your hymn book day after day. That hymn book stays there. I didn't click that, but maybe a hymn book. Daily devotional books. Morning by Morning by Spurgeon. I just have, who left all these books here this morning? Let me just take a knee here. In honor of J.I. Packer, who's just passed and be the Lord, In God's Presence, Daily Devotionals with J.I. Packer, day by day by day. One that I've been using for the last year or so that's been so beneficial to me, and I've recommended it to, I don't know, probably a dozen people almost, about Paul Tripp's New Morning Mercies, a daily gospel devotional. Excellent. The best of Robert Murray McShane, 120 daily devotionals to nurture your spirit and refresh your soul. Heart of the Matter, daily reflections for changing hearts and lives from CCEF. I found 3 copies of this at our house. So this one's available to the first person who comes and picks it up this morning to put in your hand, a daily devotional book. The Valley of Vision, a collection of Puritan prayers and devotions. Very helpful for helping in prayer. A Godward Life by John Piper. 120 daily readings. This is book 2. There's also book 1. So volume 1 and volume 2 of A Godward Life. Now here's a fun one. The Baptist Confession of Faith and Baptist Catechism. Look how short the chapters are. Chapter 7. Right there. And you know what? This makes for a good jumping off point. You get theology. You get sound theology. You get something that can just stir your heart when you think about the sovereignty of God. Talking about just flying off in prayer, considering the sovereignty of God. And you get a real twosome. Good, solid, sound theology is something that just floats your heart off. And by the way, this is a leather, hard-bound, beautiful copy of the 1689. It's also available here for the first person who comes and gets it this morning. Here's a fun devotional book. Grace Baptist Church, Constitution of Articles of Faith. Same as on that same level as the 1689. I use this for devotional material sometimes where, I mean, look at this. There's a great point right there on worship that could just send you off into orbit and praying. It's a great source. Some of you use Table Talk. It'll come right to your mailbox with a daily devotion every single day from Ligonier Ministries. And this has a daily devotional for every single day and special readings for the weekends as well. And so these can be available to you as well this morning. So the available ones are over there. Don't you dare take the rest of these books right here now. They're in my little pile, but those can be available to those. What suggestions do you have, by the way? I put out in our note this morning that we wanted to allow for time for you to give pointers or tips or that kind of thing. What suggestions do you have for devotional materials that you could recommend to someone? Anybody? Just say it out real loud. You don't have to give us the whole, you know, the table of contents or anything, but just something that you found helpful. Anyone? Carol?
A lot of you might not know this, but I'm a low sugar guy.
Okay.
That means while I'm sitting here, if I'm not doing something, I'm just liable to be asleep. You got to keep me activated. You got to keep me going. When I wake up in the morning, I don't wake up. I'm deader than a hammer. Linda will say amen real quick to that. Can't get me stirred. I thought back while you was talking about things you could do in the morning. I think it was George Mueller, I believe it was. He had a 5-gallon bucket, sat right next to his bed, and when he woke up in the morning, he'd stick his head down that 5-gallon bucket of cold water, and he'd take his head out. Ladies don't do that, though. Us guys might do that. But anyway, you can get started that way. But I have not been a good, consistent daily devotional guy. I don't have a good, consistent quiet time. But I try to have a time every day. But it's not been a good... You've set forth a very good pattern right there, and I'm going to strive to help myself in those directions. But I love daily devotion.
Well, that's the whole purpose. The whole purpose is just this, to stir us on to love and good deeds. Absolutely. Anybody else with a good devotional book? Sally? Okay, good, Sally. I'm going to repeat that for the recording because we weren't passing the mic around. But Sally was suggesting that she has a friend who helps her as an accountability partner in quiet time and just in things that are going through together in their devotionals. So that's good. I just want to say, you know, I'm so in terms of these things that we have on a place, consistent place or isolated place. Jane's such a great example to me in that there's one chair in our house in one place, and nobody else sits in that chair. Not because we can't, we can, but it's one chair in one place in our sunroom, and you go there and you see all of Jane's devotional materials that are kept right there. So every single morning, she's there in that seat, in that place, with her Quiet Talk magazine, with her prayer system that we're going to talk about in just a few moments if we have time. But all the materials right there every day. That's what we mean by a consistent place. All right, we did the thoughts and suggestions. Also, in this consistent place, once again, minimize your distractions. Once again, what are some things that compete for your attention? This is one of those things where it's kind of an honest... statement, like, you know, I kind of struggle with what, these are some things that compete with my, Jane? The day ahead? Yeah. Okay, we're going to have to pass the mic. These are are good answers. So, Justin, thank you. What are some other things that compete for your attention that you could be honest with us about and help us with?
Well, I know for me, there's two things. Obviously, one that you've already talked about, and that's my phone. And the second one is my kids. They get up incredibly early in the morning, and they are the first to actually want something.
Yeah.
Regardless if it's food or whatnot, those are the two main competing for me every day.
Let me address that just real quick. Remember our example of Susanna Wesley. And you're going to have to work with your children. Remember I said a quiet time takes intentionality and disciplined effort over time. Not necessarily just on our parts. Maybe on our children's parts as well. Right? Like, remember Susanna Wesley, 14 children. Was it 14 children? 14 children. And she was going to have a quiet time. She'd pull that cover over her head, sit over there in the corner. Her apron's pulled over her head. And the children know, while mommy's got the apron pulled over her head just for these few minutes, that's her time with Jesus. And as soon as I'm done, you can have my mommy's attention. So that takes time to work those things out. But we can work that with our children with some flexibility. Maggie.
Just to piggyback off of that, because I was going to say my kids, no matter how early I go to bed, no matter how early they go to bed, they are up so early and just full force all day long.
Yeah.
But I have discovered that there's this little nugget of time after the breakfast and after the chores where they are just either working quietly on their schoolwork or outside playing. And that's just the little nugget that I found that like, oh. Here it is.
What's the best time for you? Yeah. Right? What's the best time for you in that?
Books are a distraction for me. Right. And they can be good books, even, you know, Christian books, but I get so immersed in books I'm reading that sometimes I get up in the morning and I want to continue reading a book. So that's a tough one.
Can be a distraction, again, depending on the book. It may be something, you know, like one of these. It's not necessarily a devotional book. You know, Wayne Grudem's Big Systematic Theology is actually written in a devotional style. It's a big, fat book, but it's one of those things that can cause you to soar. You're not going to agree with every single thing that he says necessarily, but you're going to agree with most of it. And then there's like a devotional section at the end of those chapters. We need to move on. Is anybody else something that a challenge for you? Okay, good. From one of our young people.
Well, definitely things that I would like to do more than things that I need to do, like skateboarding, my music. Definitely those things. But I haven't done this for a while. I probably need to again. I've been waking up. I have a Bible next to my bed. I wake up and start reading through the book of Romans. I read that this morning, but I haven't been recently. But I need to start doing that again.
All right. So we've looked at a consistent time, a consistent place, and we're going to have to really run through this. I'm not going to be able to finish it, but it's kind of in a nutshell, so you'll be able to read between the lines. But a consistent plan or a consistent practice. Remember we said that to establish a quiet time, the best advice is to establish a plan and establish some basic components in that plan. So a consistent routine, not a rut-tine, but a routine. So when you've decided on a time and a place for a quiet time, aim at a definite but doable plan with flexibility, but not too much flexibility. But again, those kids don't know necessarily what time it is. Those babies are hungry. So a definite and doable plan with some flexibility. And I want to address this from two main headings. The first is just the most practical thing I could possibly say in terms of coming up with a consistent, doable plan. First, what works for you? And I'm borrowing that idea from Martin Lloyd-Jones, who wrote a book entitled On Preachers and Preaching. Obviously, it's a book to preachers. And yet in that book, this prince of preachers, Martin Lloyd-Jones, would say to pastors and preachers, when it comes to studying as a preacher, his advice was, find out what works for you and do that. Does a certain kind of lighting work best for you? I mean, really practical things. And I applied it to the quiet time as well. Once again, for me, something that works for me in a quiet time, sitting out there on the patio, on the swing in the morning, something that helps me is having a cup of tea to sip on. I've got something in my hand. The last thing I want to do is fall asleep and spill this hot cup of tea on me, so it keeps me awake. And it's just a sweet tea time with Jesus in the morning. That works for me. So that's the one, first thing I want to say is, what works for you in establishing a plan? Where works for you? And then, just very briefly, two overarching what? Now, Merriam-Webster said I could say two overarching foci or foci. Merriam-Webster said I could even say two overarching focuses in the 21st century. So we're talking about the plural of focus. Or I could say two overarching points of focus. The two overarching points of foci for a quiet time. And they would be a focused Bible reading time and a focused prayer time. As regards the order of the Bible reading and prayer, it may be advisable to read your Bible first and then pray. Carol mentioned George Mueller. Something that Mueller found helpful, very committed to a quiet time, was he found that reading his Bible first often gave him some fuel for something to praise God about, or often it gave him some fuel for something to pray about in his life. But even then, this is not cut and dried like, read your Bible first and then pray. I would suggest it's probably more something like this in reality. Read as you pray and pray as you read. Probably along those lines. But for the sake of discussion, we'll just take focus Bible reading first. Choose a particular passage. Not random reading. Not like this. All right, but you mentioned Romans. I'm reading through Hebrews this summer, just over and over and over, and I'm reading it devotionally. Sometimes I get through a chapter, sometimes I get through a half a chapter, sometimes I get through three verses, but I'm looking at a specific passage. So in your focus reading time, choose a particular passage to read. Start your Bible reading with prayer. You can pray, Lord, open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things from your word. Then open the word, begin to read the passage, stopping, listening, communing with God. It's God's word. This is how he speaks to us, through his word. Meditate and ponder. And here's some questions you might ask. I'm just flipping through these quickly. I can give all this back to you at a little later. But you've seen these kind of questions before, right? Is there something that I should worship God about in this passage? Is there a promise for me to trust here? Is there any sin here that I should confess or repent or be aware of? Is there any error or warning here that I should be aware of or avoid? Is there any command here for me to obey? Is there any truth here for me to apply to my life and pray about that? Is there any example here for me to follow? The Apostle Paul told us to follow his example. Pray about what you read. Use your notebook if you're one of those that keep a journal or points of application you want to come back to. And then apply these things. Your focused prayer time. Remember we saw when we were looking at that armor or the armor, there are all kinds of prayer, praying with all kinds of prayer. We suggested then acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. These can all be parts of what are involved in our prayer time with God. I would suggest it should involve all of these things. Thanking God for what he's done, for what he's provided, praising God for who he is, looking at his name, his attributes. Praying for others, using a systematic prayer list that you might establish to work through. praying about what you need for the day, praying about what you've just read in the scriptures. Let me just go through this last point, a consistent, focused attitude, an attitude of faith. Lord, without faith, it's impossible to please you. I want to draw near to you with a sincere heart of faith. I want to believe that you're a God and you're a rewarder of those who seek you. And I have an attitude of faith in coming to you as my Father, an attitude of expectancy. I want to tell you the story of a saint. Her secret place for her quiet time was in her living room. That's where she would go consistently, into her living room. And someone was visiting with her one day, and she had a mirror right beside the door that went into her living room. And before she would go into the living room to have her quiet time, she would fix her hair and primp a little bit. And this visitor asked her one time, knowing she was going there to have a quiet time, "Why do you stop and primp yourself? You're just going in there to be alone, to pray." Alone. I'm not going there. I'm going there to be with my Lord. I'm going to be with my sweet Lord. I want to be presentable when I'm in his presence. She had this attitude of expectancy. She wasn't going to be alone. An attitude of stillness, be still and know that I am the Lord. An attitude of humility and readiness to respond in obedience to what you see in the Bible. "You are my disciples," Jesus said, "if you obey what I command you." An attitude of attentiveness. So we've already said this a little bit. If you're having a quiet time, what helps you to be committed? If not, what are some challenges and what are some changes you can make? And feel free to dialogue with me about that. But my time is up this morning and I need to stop. But hopefully these practical measures have just been some practical helps that will help you. And I wish we had time to suggest some more, but engage in that conversation today. I know we've had a lot of rain, but we don't talk about the rain. Maybe talk about what's been some things that have helped you or some challenges you have, and engage in that conversation with a brother and sister of how they might be helped by you or you by them. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you want us to know you. And thank you that our life is a walk, and it's a walk with a person, that this is eternal life, to know you and to know your Son. And so help us to cultivate this vertical relationship with you, horizontal orientation and personal heart motivation that comes through quiet time. In Jesus' name, amen.